Helper this morning, I want to draw your attention to the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. If you have your scriptures with you, the Sermon on the Mount is on my mind, and let us pray together that God would add His blessings upon our thoughts. Verse 1 of Matthew chapter 5 reads, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We understand this morning that the verses contained in the comments contained in the verses that I've just read to you continue on through the seventh chapter of the book of Matthew. These are, of course, the words spoken by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord has been baptized. The Lord has been manifested in the eyes of the people by the words of John the Baptist, having baptized Jesus Christ and seeing the Spirit descend upon him like a dove, and hearing a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And having the witness already of who this man is, he goes before his people. He's already called some of his apostles. We know that a few verses prior to this that he's called James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and he's called them to come and to follow him. And he goes before a multitude of people and he climbs a mountain to begin to preach unto those that are following him. It's important for us to understand, if we're going to know anything about how to apply the words that Jesus Christ speaks at this time, it's important for us to understand who he's speaking to. One of the questions that we should always ask ourselves when we read through the Word of God is, who is speaking and who are they speaking to? What is the context of the lesson that is contained there? In this particular lesson, you're reading about Jesus speaking unto those who climbed a mountain with him. You know, a lot of people believe that Jesus climbed a mountain so that he could speak to all those on the ground. And that's not the application of the Sermon on the Mount. The application of the Sermon on the Mount is that the Lord spoke to those who were willing to climb the mountain. And you said, how do you understand that? Because it doesn't say that in those verses. If you go to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, you'll see that those who saw him speak but didn't hear what he was saying, they were the ones who were on the bottom. They witnessed something special, but they didn't hear the words. And the Lord here starts out by speaking unto those who were willing to go up a mountain with him. It's important for us to understand that our walk with Jesus here in this world involves our willingness to climb a mountain, our willingness to be able to claw our hands into the side and give our best effort in our works towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, I don't know about you, but I've always wanted to try one of those mountain climbing things at the sporting goods store when you go into it. I never have mustered up the courage to give it a shot, but I've wanted to real bad. I think that whenever the boys get old enough to try it, and there's a challenge issued, and there's already some of those challenges going back and forth amongst mine, they're getting old enough that I'm going to probably feel like I ought to give it a shot. And some of you here have probably tried it. But to this day, other than just a tree down in southeast Georgia, just for the fun of it as a young child, I've never climbed anything other than a tree. I've never literally climbed a mountain. But I feel at times that I've had to climb in order to get closer to my God. I've had to dig into His Word. I've had to study harder. I've had to hit my knees a little bit more. I've had to put a little bit more in it than just what my natural flesh wanted me to put in. And that's what it means to climb a mountain. And it's not something that will bog you down. The Lord has said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord will bless you in that. But He says, climb the mountain. And those who climbed the mountain heard the Lord Jesus Christ speak unto them and say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, a lot of people read the term poor in the Scriptures, and they believe that every time that you see it, that it's talking about poor in material things. The prophet Zechariah said, "I will leave in the midst of thee a poor and afflicted people." What does that mean to be poor? It means that you're poor in spirit. It means that you believe that you don't have what you need by yourself. You know, we have a spirit. The Lord's Spirit dwells within us if we belong to Him, but we have a natural spirit in and of ourselves. We are spiritual beings. The Lord refers to the sons of Noah and Noah himself as being eight souls which were saved by water. He refers to a person as a soul. People have spirits and we have our own spirit. And if we view ourselves as being poor in our own spirit, the Lord has said, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the one who don't trust in themselves. They trust in the Lord. They trust that they are rich in Him but poor in themselves. I've said before, and if the Lord will bless me to be able to say it many more times, and if I'm wrong, the Lord will show me where I'm wrong. But the Scripture does not condemn us being blessed to be able to have material things in this world. He does not charge us to become poor in material things. He says that you become poor in your trust of those material things and of your trust of yourself. That's what He condemns and that's what He discourages from. And the people of God, if they're going to be close with Jesus, if they're going to be ones that walk with Him, they're going to have to see that they need Him because they don't possess in and of themselves what they need in order to make it in this life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26, he's preaching and he's speaking unto the kings of the that have called him before and are questioning him. And one of the things that he says to those who are questioning him is something that you and I should always keep on the tip of our tongue. Having obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day. He didn't say, having done all these things that I've done, look at everything that I've accomplished. And the Apostle Paul was blessed to accomplish some things. He established churches in regions where there was hostility above and beyond anything that we could ever imagine. He did some things that is certainly right that we should recognize and as being members of the church. He did some things, but he didn't say that I did them, that I did these things, and it was me. He said, having obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day. What do you say whenever you talk about your upbringing of your children? Whenever you talk about the blessings that you have in your occupations outside and that you're where you go to work every day, do you look at it as having obtained the help of God? I continue unto this day because the Lord is blessing me in this capacity. I'm able to continue unto this day. Or do you say, me. It is the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We should see ourselves as being needy and trusting upon the Lord. And that's exactly the mindset that Jesus Christ was teaching. And whether or not you and I recognize it or not, you and I are dependent upon our Father in heaven. You and I need Him. We need Him today. The day is coming and now is when they shall worship Me in spirit and in truth. You can have all the truth that you want. But if the Lord, by His sovereign will, has chosen to withdraw Himself from your fellowship, whenever you try to meet together, it'll be as void and numb as anything you've ever experienced. It takes both. We stand in need of Him today. You and I stand in need of Him in our homes. You and I stand in need of Him in our marriages. We need the Lord. I'm calling upon you today to look at yourself as being poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, as we read the term kingdom of heaven there, it's important for us to establish that the Lord is certainly not saying that you've got to do something in order to inhabit eternal heaven. The Lord has already done everything necessary for all His children to inhabit eternal heaven. What He's telling you is these are things, this is the mindset and this is the spirit that you've got to have if you're going to have fellowship with Him here in this life. That's what the charge is. That's what the Lord was teaching. That's what His earthly ministry was dedicated to, was to teaching people how to grow closer unto Him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, when you see blessed are, blessed are they. You know, I'm almost every one of these blessed are's that the Lord mentions here and through these courses of Scripture that I've mentioned this morning is you can go in the Old Testament and find accursed is the man to go in the opposite side of it. You know, one of the examples I can give you right quick is if we go over to the book of Jeremiah in the 17th chapter for this one that we've just read concerning blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you go over to the 5th verse of Jeremiah chapter 17, if you're following the Bible reading that we that a lot of us are, you've just read through this book, so a lot of these things ought to be familiar to you. He says in verse 5 of Jeremiah chapter 17, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man." Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. There's some things that I need my brothers and sisters for in this world. I'd be high-minded to tell you today as I stand before you that I don't need the prayers of those I love. I need your prayers for me and my family. I need your prayers while I stand before you. But I don't trust that you're praying unto one another. I trust that you're praying unto the Father above in order to bestow His blessings down upon us. We stand in need of one another's prayers, but aren't you glad that whenever we have our prayer request here, that we don't say, "Y'all pray unto the pastor for these certain things to be granted." That'd be awful discouraging, would it not? That'd be discouraging to know that you prayed unto just another man. We're not asking one another and trusting in one another to pray in one another because of what man can accomplish. We're calling upon them to pray unto the one that can hear our prayers and can grant our request as we need it. He said, "Cursed is the man that trusteth in man." And there's a lot of people out in this world today that are being misled to think that they can do things in and of themselves, that they can just go and do it any old way they want to, that it's their way. It can be their way or the highway. I tell you, the Lord's way is the right way. And that's to be the way that we seek here in the house of God, that we're not trusting in the ways of man, but we're trusting in the ways of God, and that maketh flesh His arm. And that maketh flesh His arm. You know, whenever I read that particular verse, and I've got some preacher brethren that don't see it the same way I do, but whenever I read that, I believe that particular "His" right there is the Lord's arm. That maketh flesh the Lord's arm. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh the Lord's arm. Flesh is not the Lord's arm. Our Lord's arm is way stronger than any flesh that you and I can compare it to. He doesn't stand in need of the flesh in order to be able to flex His muscle in His arm. He doesn't stand dependent upon us. That maketh flesh His arm. But I wouldn't go toe-to-toe with anybody that viewed that as saying that they made flesh their own arm instead of saying that the Lord is their arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man, but blessed are they that are poor in the spirit, that see themselves as being needy before the Almighty God. You know, we've already mentioned the Apostle Paul is saying that having obtained the help of God, I continue until this day. Look at all the great men of the Old Testament that have shown and proven to us in the Word of God that they stood in the dependence of the Almighty God. You know, the man Hezekiah, the king Hezekiah, it's probably, I enjoy reading about him in the Old Testament about as much as I enjoy reading about everybody, about anybody. I love to read about a man that stood for what was right even when it seemed like everybody was against him. He refused to budge even when it seemed like everybody was against him. He stood in the house of God and he said, "You remove all these artifacts that my daddy has, these wicked idols that my daddy has brought in here." Do you know that that's one of the toughest things that you'll ever be asked to do if you've ever been asked to do it, is stand for what's right against your very parents in this world? It's not easy to do. It's something that's difficult to do because they're people that you respect. They're people that you love and who have taken care of you and nourished you. But this particular man said that my daddy was wrong by bringing these idols in here. You remove them. You get them out of here. And he said to all these people that have forsaken the assembly and have gone and have not come in and back and offered the Passover as they should, let's send them letters and let's tell them what they should be doing. Let's tell them why they're wrong. Let's correct the wrong. And if you and I have the right spirit in and of us, we should always be of the mind, if I'm wrong, I want to get right. I don't want to continue wrong in my own high-mindedness. I want to get right in the eyes of God. This man Hezekiah did those things and he was blessed by God from on high. And I tell you, even when he came down to the end of his life, I tell you, the Lord showed him again just how dependent he was on Him, did He not? Because He told him, because he had shown the artifacts of the house of God, the Lord told him he was going to die for that. The Lord said that you're going to pass. He said, "Get your house in order." He said, begin to get your will in order because I'm fixing to remove you from the scene." And Hezekiah, he felt his dependence upon God. And that's how you and I should feel each and every morning that we wake up. We should bow on our knees and say, "Lord, I need you to bless this day. I stand in need of you to look after my family, to look after my children, to keep them from the ways of the wicked of this world." There's some mean folks out in this world. There are mean folks out in this world. You know, we were blessed on Friday to be able to depart from Cartersville. Allison brought the kids down from Adairsville, the two boys. And that got in the truck with me, and I got her car cleaned out and oil changed and all that stuff, and she left and went north, and we left and went south. And then in this day and age, what happened, happened. Her cell phone was somehow turned down, somehow. I charged it to probably a little girl who loves to grab her mama's cell phone and play on it and turned it down, and I started calling about 30 minutes after I pulled out, and I called and I called and I called and I called and I called. And I don't know how many calls were on there. I know there was upwards of 25. I know there were. I had others on the hunt. I had the neighbor hunting for her. All I could think about was I was concerned that I didn't look in her car well enough that one of those people who had cleaned out her car had possibly was hiding in the back seat or something. You say, Brother Will, how can you even... I tell you, you'll be amazed about the things that will run through your mind whenever you can't get in touch with somebody and you become concerned about it. There's mean people out in this world. And I knew right then how dependent I was upon God. I prayed, Lord, if I need to turn around, you turn me around. But he brought peace upon me and just said, just keep going. Just keep going. And I was down in Macon before I ever heard back from her. But I had a trust that the Lord, he comforted me. Blessed are they that mourn, is what the Scripture says. And I was mourning at that hour. I knew how much I had stood in dependence of the Lord to watch over my family and to keep them. And he brought comfort and peace upon me that nothing only second to the voice of hearing her on the phone would have done. I tell you, we stand in need of that. We've got to pray for one another. This world is not our friend. They're not going to look after us. They're not, as we turn loose and we go out in it and we become dependent upon it. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. You're trusting in the ways of the world. We need to pray unto God to bless us. And blessed are they that are poor in spirit. Hezekiah fell and he curled himself up in the corner and said, Lord, grant me more of my life. The Apostle Paul said, having obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day. You've got men like Elijah, who the Lord said, you go and you hide yourself at the brook. And I tell you, Elijah became dependent upon God to the point where a bird had to bring him his food. I tell you, the Lord shows us, he'll bring us to a point where we'll know where our sources of blessings come from. You know, one of the things that we should constantly remember is if we fail to do it willingly, he can do it forcefully. He can do it forcefully. Think about if you continue to read through the book of Jeremiah, because the whole nation of Israel refused to recognize their source of blessings, what happened to them? The Lord brought them to a point where they were forced to recognize who had blessed them through all the years. They were forced to a point of watching their children die of starvation, of watching their tongue cleaveth to the top of their mouth. Except this country turn and recognize where our blessings come from, I fear the same thing would come upon us. That's the reason why we pray for our country and pray for our leaders. Blessed are they that are poor in the Spirit. You don't have to be a primitive Baptist in order to know that you're poor in spirit and know that you depend upon God. But we should be the examples out in this world to show just how dependent we are as a country and as a people and as His children upon Him. We stand in need of our God in heaven. Far be it from us to have the mindset that we can achieve things in and of ourselves. I tell you, there's a proverb for that. I believe it's Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. It said, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And that's exactly the mindset that we would have if we said, we don't need God. We don't need Him. I can do without Him. I can survive on my own. That's pride. That's a haughty spirit. And it cometh before a fall. And I tell you, the Scripture says that all the nations that forget God will be turned into hell. And if you believe there's only one hell in Scripture, then let me tell you, that's not talking about an eternal hell. That's talking about a hell here in this life. They'll be turned into hell. And what you read the prophet Jeremiah witnessing in the book of Lamentations, what you read him witnessing is hell. There's no other way to refer to it. It is a geographical place that neither you nor I ever want to visit. It is hell on earth. And the Lord has said that if we'll forget to recognize where our sources of blessings are coming from, blessed are they that are poor in spirit. We'll be blessed if we'll say, God, we stand in need of you. Bless us, visit us, watch over us, keep us, love us, hold us in your arms. We need you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I tell you, the Lord here, He's not talking about what you've got to do to get to heaven. He's teaching them about what they've got to do to walk with Him, to feel Him in this world. And I tell you, some of the darkest times of my life is whenever I felt to be that I felt to be departed from the presence of my Lord. Where I felt like, and I knew, and the Scripture teaches us that He's there. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But if you believe that that means that He won't ever make you think He's not there, then you're misinterpreting what the Scripture is. The Lord will make you think that you are left in and of yourself so that you'll be drawn back to His loving arms. You'll be drawn back to Him. You know, one of the things that the older kids used to do back home whenever we'd go out in the woods is I was the youngest of all the cousins. And every time we'd go off somewhere, Brother Lloyd, they'd leave Will. They'd leave. Now, they knew where I was. They stayed far enough away from it. Well, I thought I was lost. And I'm going to tell you, you don't have to be a child to get scared whenever you feel like you're lost in the woods. I believe that I've known some grown men that have gotten turned around fishing and hunting. And, buddy, it's a scary thought to think that you've got to somehow start to depend upon things that you thought you knew. And that is how to look at the sun and be able to tell north, south, east, and west and how to get where you're going. But when you finally get to that point, you know where your only source of. You feel to be alone. You feel that you've been left alone in a waste howling wilderness. And that's the way the Lord will bring us if we're not careful to recognize that we're poor in spirit. We don't have the ability by ourselves. Flesh is not, our flesh is not His arm. He's the source that we need. He's the one that we need. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you get to that point where you hit your knees, when you get to that point where you're at the brook and you're being fed by a bird and you're having to depend completely upon God, when you've gotten to that point, you know where you are. But I tell you, I pray that we stay in a position where we're continuing to receive the blessings of God, where He doesn't have to bring us to our knees in order for us to recognize where our source of blessings are. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn. There's mourning this side of glory. There's departure this side of glory. I love to sing that hymn that we sing, where we read and we sing that there'll be no parting over there. There'll be no parting over there. There won't be any more departures from this life. There won't be any more having to separate because you won't be able to spend any more time with your loved one this side of glory. It won't be like that whenever we get over there. And the Lord has said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, because we can sorrow not as those which have no hope. You and I have hope today that we'll be blessed to be able to live with those loved ones again. That we'll be blessed to be in the presence of our Savior one day. The Lord has said that He'll comfort you. Are you not comforted by that understanding this morning? I tell you, I've lost some loved ones in this world. I've lost some that it was hard to say goodbye to. I can remember as a 10-year-old boy that when my grandpa passed away, I can remember for nights on end my mama having to sit on my bed while I cried myself to sleep. But I tell you, the Lord has blessed me to be able to be comforted by the truth, and that is that I'll be with Him again one day. I tell you, if anybody else other than a Primitive Baptist would have preached his funeral, there was no hope for him. There was no hope for him. He was a man that had messed his whole family life up, had gotten himself in trouble with alcohol to the point where even when he came to the house of God, he was summoned to the back pew, and that's the only place where he was able to sit as he visited with the house of God. There was no hope for him in anybody else's religion. But I tell you, I'm thankful to have the comfort in my heart this morning that I saw the love of God in a man's heart, and I saw His love towards me. And I tell you, I've mourned for that. But I've been comforted in the truth that God has given me and understanding that I'll be in glory with Him one day. And I tell you, I feel blessed by it. I feel like a blessed individual today. I feel like God has blessed me. And I pray that that's your feelings as well, that the Lord has bestowed His mighty mercy and His blessings down upon you. I tell you, it wasn't because we deserved it. It's because of Jesus' sake that He has done these things for us. Blessed are they that mourn. And if the Lord doesn't come back soon, there's going to be more mourning this side of glory. There's going to be some of you who go home to be with the Lord, and you're going to leave the rest of us behind, and we'll mourn for you. But we'll be comforted in the truth, and that is that we'll walk with you on the streets of gold one day. That we'll be in the presence of the Almighty God forever at the feet of Jesus Christ, worshiping Him and praising Him for saving us from our sins. I tell you, that's comforting to me. Maybe me that goes before some of you. I don't know. Some of you's got your dates that you think. But we know the only one that keeps the clock. We know the only one that's in control. But I tell you, it may be me. Maybe me. Maybe some of you. And we'll mourn. And I think it's just and it's right for us to mourn when we lose a loved one here in this world. There's not a thing wrong with shedding a tear over the loss of a loved one. As a matter of fact, you cram that tear back in your eye and you harden that heart, and you'll get yourself in a point where it'll hit you about 10, 12 months down the road. It'll finally catch up with you. Best thing to do is go ahead and mourn with everybody else. Let it out and go ahead and feel that mourning, because you'll also feel the arms of your loving Savior wrapping His arms around you, comforting you. He's the source of our comfort. And you say, well, what does that mean, that we're not supposed to comfort and to love one another? I tell you, I believe that the Lord can use the arms of our brothers and sisters as they wrap their arms around us, our mamas, our daddies, our sons, our daughters, as they love us at those times. I believe that as we look at those arms are the arms of Jesus Christ wrapping us up and telling us, Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, a wicked man doesn't mourn. The wicked man doesn't mourn. He becomes strifeful and angry when he doesn't get what he wants, but it's not mourning. It's not longing. It's not mourn. He just changes course to the next foolishness and wickedness that's on the tip of his mind. He doesn't mourn. He's not blessed for his mourning. I tell you, he's going to be. There's no source of information in this sermon for the wicked. This is for the righteous. This is for the people of God. This is for the people that long to walk with Jesus Christ. And blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, a meek man is a gentle and a mild person. If you've ever seen a sheep, I wish we had more sheep in pastures around here. It'd make the pastor's job a lot easier to be able to teach about sheep. But you know, nobody eats sheep, really. I mean, whenever me and Allison go out to eat, it's one of my favorite things to order. I love sheep. And so I wish there was more of it for us to, you know, when they do sell it at the local grocery store. But hardly anybody farms sheep. So it's harder to teach about the mannerisms of a child of God. You know, if we could, I just can't go there. There's some things in the characteristics of cows that you can get in terms of the herding and so on and so forth. But I tell you, a butt-headed cow is closer to a goat than you can ever get to a sheep. But sheep are mild-mannered animals. They're mild-mannered. I can remember as a child, we would be moving cows from one pasture to the other, and my daddy would have to carry. He'd have his shepherding rod, but it wasn't as the Lord says in the 23rd Psalm, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I've seen him turn around and swing it like a baseball bat and nail a bull right between the eyes because he was fixing to charge him and hit him. That's not the type of characteristics of a sheep. You won't see a sheep do that. You see a sheep being mild-mannered. You see him being one that whenever they're in need, you can go to them and you can pick them up and you can carry them in your arms. You can drape them over the top of your shoulders, which is the way that a shepherd carries a sheep. What a beautiful picture of the way that the Lord does us, as He picks us up and carries us on His shoulders whenever we stand in need. And the Scripture says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." It's not because those who are gentle and those who are mild, they're not out to strive in this world. They're not out to fuss in this world. As a matter of fact, a little bit further down it mentions, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those are the characteristics that we're supposed to have. And even in our moments of boldness, there's a way to be bold and meek at the same time. Do you understand that? It means that you won't budge. You're just not going to budge. You're not going to change your beliefs. You're not going to let this world overrun you. But you can do it with a gentle and with a meek attitude. You can do it by the strength that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was. He's not bold and gentle and meek at the same time whenever He was a lamb that stood before His shears is dumb. Did He move? Did He move whenever they made those accusations against Him? Or did He just stand in a gentle and a mild manner and to say, "Thou sayest it. Are you the King of the Jews? Thou sayest it." He just stood there. He didn't move. He was bold, but at the same time, He was gentle and He was mild. And that's the same thing that you and I can do by the grace of the Almighty God. We can be the gentle in this world. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I tell you, the Lord here has given us a way to experience great blessings from Him. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you troubled by the wickedness in this world today? We should be. We should be troubled by it. It should be troubling us to see the corruption in this world today. It should trouble us. It should not bring peace to our soul whenever we see the presence of wickedness the way that we do in this world. But you know, the psalmist David said that, "Woe is he that calleth evil good and good evil." You know, we should hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's some people that hunger and that will do anything they can to try to spiritualize wickedness. Elder Sonny Piles put it this way one time. He said, "Have you ever heard how the world will try to spiritualize every wicked man, but they'll try to tear down every godly man?" You ever notice that? They'll try to make a saint out of a man like Elvis Presley, which you say, "Brother Will, watch it now. You didn't live during this time. He sang some good hymns. I know. I got some of his hymns. I've heard them." But you read a little bit about that man and what he lived and the type of life he lived in the darkness up there in Memphis. And I tell you what, you'll have made your last attempt to try to spiritualize him. But at the same time, you got a righteous and a holy man like Billy Graham. And what does this world do? At every opportunity they have, they'll try to tug him down. Look at what all he does wrong. I tell you, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It should be our desire to be in the midst of righteous people, to be in the midst of good men, to be in the midst of good women. That should be our desire. We should hunger for that. We should pray for the Lord to send that to our flock. Send us good men. Send us good mamas. Send us good daddies so that we can worship and praise Thee together. And the Lord says that if you hunger for that, that you'll be filled. He'll give you these things. You'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, in Micah, in the 6th chapter, in the 8th verse, the question is asked, what does the Lord require of them? And he tells them three things that the Lord is going to require of them: to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. To love mercy. You know, some of the more merciful people in this world are some of the people that are the people that recognize just how big of sinners they are. And some of the more self-righteous people in this world think that they've done everything right in their life. As soon as you do something wrong in the eyes of somebody that thinks that they've done everything right, don't expect mercy. You're not going to get it. What you're going to get is a tongue lashing of just how self-righteous they are and just how pitiful you are. But I tell you, if we love mercy, and you and I ought to be lovers of mercy. And though there's a lot of things about a lot of you I don't know, but I know enough about your forefather Adam, and I know enough about sin in this Bible to know that each and every one of us should be lovers of mercy. We should love the mercy of our Father in heaven. Because instead of passing the judgment that was due upon us, He reserved that judgment and passed it one time upon His Son on the cross at Calvary. We should love and pray for the mercy from on high. We should be lovers of mercy. What does the Lord require of us? To love mercy. And that is, whenever we have an opportunity to exercise mercy to somebody, instead of pounding them on the head with more and more and more, that we tell them, the Lord will forgive you for that. And I forgive you for Jesus' sake. How often, you know, one time, I don't even know if I've told this story before, but shortly before I left Cherokee County to start over here, I had a fellow employee, be about as ugly to me as I think anybody has ever been to me in my life. To the point where, thankfully, it was on video, because he did it at the front counter in front of customers, that he was summoned that video to his boss's office to correct it. And about a week after that, he came up to me and he gave about the most lame duck apology I have ever heard anybody give me in my life. And I had it on the tip of my tongue, is that all you're going to say? But then I said, you know, that's enough for me to just say, it's all right. Let's move on. Let's be lovers of mercy. The Lord will deal with him if he feels like there's something ought else been said. And there was a lot that wasn't addressed in that apology, let me tell you. But if I'm a lover of mercy, and that is, if I love somebody, I mean, if I love the mercy that was shown to me by my Father which is in heaven, I shouldn't hold what somebody's done to me above their head and pound them over the top of the head of it with the way I treat them. That's about as far from being like Jesus as you can get. The Lord forgave you, and you can do the same thing to others. It takes His blessing you to be able to do it. If you try to forgive Him in the flesh, if you try to forgive Him by your nature, it won't work. But if you'll forgive Him for Jesus' sake, it'll work. Blessed are they. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, I believe the Lord's gotten us started on a good point, on a good direction of how to walk with Him. That's what this was. This was his initiation sermon, if you will, to those who were going to follow Him. This was his first time in a sermon capacity speaking unto the people. We know He did it more often. We know that He pulled the boat close to the sea and that those multitude were pulled in front of Him. But this is what He started with. He'll say, you'll be blessed if you do these things. You know how we could compare the cursedness of the Old Testament prophets whenever they spoke of the cursed is the man, cursed is the man, cursed is the man. And what is it that the nation of Israel turned right around and did to the man who tried to teach them how to be blessed? Is they turned around and they did it everything just like the cursed said, instead of doing like what the Lord says. And that is that if we do these things, we'll be blessed. You know, isn't that what we really want for one another? I pray it is, to be blessed. To be blessed by God. I want the people that I'm around, I want my, my the fellow members of the church that I pastor. I want my family members that I love. I want people that I'm around. I want them to be blessed. And you know, it's real easy. It's real easy to get caught up in the flesh and to get real jealous when somebody does get blessed. But that shouldn't be our attitude. Our attitude should be joy and rejoicing. Rejoice and be exceeding glad is what the final verse was that I read to you. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Because why? Because they treated the other prophets that were before you for trying to do what's right. They treated them with wickedness and with hatefulness. But blessed are the people that do these things. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called the children of God. It doesn't say that blessed are the peacemakers because they'll become children of God. It says they'll be called that. If you had to go out and somebody else took a survey of 10 people that you're in contact with the most day to day, would you be considered a peacemaker by them? The scripture says that blessed are you if you are looked upon that way. They'll look upon you as a sheep, as a child of God, as being blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they are called the children of God. You and I, each and every one of us, should desire for those who are around us and see us and see our walks to call us children of the King. You know, I want my children to behave, and I want them to be identified with me as well-behaved children. I want them to be called whenever they're doing well, children of Will and Allison Martin. That's what I want. And the same thing should be our desire to be identified with our Father which is in heaven, to be identified with Jesus Christ. Look at how He walked. Look at how He upheld all these things. The Lord never required anything of anybody else that He didn't do Himself. He did these things Himself. And He's calling upon us to do it. And He's saying, not only are you just doing it just for legalism's sake, you're doing it for love. You're doing it to be blessed by Me. You and I serve a God that's a source of all blessings. And if we'll do these things that the Lord began to preach and He began to walk, I believe we'll be blessed. I believe He's told us that if we'll be pure in heart, that if we'll be the peacemakers, that if we'll be see ourselves as being poor in spirit, if we'll be the meek, if we'll be those that mourn, I believe these blessings have come upon us. And I believe we need these blessings in this world. And it's my prayer that the Lord will bless each and every one of us to do them better, to do them with love, and to do them not only with love one to another, but with love of our precious Savior in heaven. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
Praise Thee, O God, for